This is Matt Wells at UN News. The equivalent of 255 million full-time jobs were lost in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and economic recovery next year is likely to be slow. The equivalent of 255 million full-time jobs were lost in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And economic recovery next year is likely to be slow. But it's not all bad news, according to the International Labour Organization, ILO. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, ILO's Dorothea Schmidt-Clau maintains there is hope that the crisis will lead to new opportunities in the green economy, which is where young job seekers in particular should seek work.
So overall, for the entire year 2020, we estimate that we have lost 8.8% of the working hours, of the total working hours that we saw in the last quarter of 2019. So 255 million employment opportunities are no longer there. And yes, that's really a big number.
It is a big number. You've also found, haven't you, from the International Labour Organization, that there's been an 8.3% decline in global labour income, not taking into account any support measures from government. And that's the equivalent of, what, $3.7 trillion, which has to hurt somewhere down the line, if not today. So the question to you is, when is there likely to be a recovery and what needs to happen for that to take place?
Well, first of all, I mean, you're absolutely right. We will feel that for a long time. And what is even worse is, of course, these 8.3% are mainly those people who were already in a different position before the crisis. So we talk about women, we talk about young people, and they are the ones who are really losing their income in this crisis more than the others.
And why is that?
Well, the thing is, there is a trend. Those who are weak before a crisis, they are the first one to be hit. They are the first ones out of the labor markets, and they are the last ones to come in. So we see unemployment for young people has hardly increased. It looks like everything is fine. We have roughly the same unemployment rate, but young people, they didn't even search for work anymore, which means they were not unemployed, because definition of unemployment is that you are looking for work. They were so frustrated and so discouraged that they even gave up looking for work. So they became what we call inactive. And we know from past crises that it's much more difficult to move from inactivity back into labor markets than from unemployment. Not to speak of the fact that if you are unemployed, there is an unemployment insurance in many countries. But if you are inactive, there is no insurance. So already these indicators show that young people are hit very, very severely. And we more and more talk about the fact that we are really talking about a lost generation here.
And just in terms of the sectors, I mean, if you had advice to somebody who was looking for a job now, you know, according to your report, that the worst affected sectors have been accommodation and food services. And employment declines there were around 20% on average, followed by retail and manufacturing. In contrast, you say that information communications technologies, finance and insurance, they actually did better in the second and third quarters of last year. So is that where people should be aiming for if they're hoping to get onto the recovery track or else be left behind?
That's exactly what we need people to look for, but we also need the policies to actually accompany such a shift, because you cannot just simply move from one of these sectors to another one. You have to reskill yourself. And this is something an individual cannot do by herself. It really needs policies to accompany this. And that's one of the things we keep saying throughout our reports. Even if we have a strong recovery, things don't trickle down to those most in need. Having said that, there is a hope that this crisis leads to a shift in mind, for example, when it comes to environmental issues. So young people who are still in the process of getting their skills, they should really look out. Maybe this is an area where they can find job opportunities. And we have seen many countries making promises in this regard. Also things like green technologies, green business, etc.
Fascinating. So one sense is that there needs to be some sort of impetus from governments, assuming they can pay for this. But just put it into some sort of perspective. I know that the International Labour Organization chief Guy Ryder said that the COVID crisis, there's been nothing like it since the Great Depression. Also, I guess we should say that the COVID crisis, according to Guy Ryder, was four times worse in terms of job hours lost than the 2009 financial crisis. So what is going to bring this shift that the ILO says that we need to bring workers back in all sectors?
Of course, if you want to have a process towards building back better, towards building back more inclusive, towards building back greener, of course, you need a shift in policies, and again, policies that accompany this process, because this is not necessarily going to come from the individuals. It's going to come from the societies as a whole, and this needs to be fostered by policies in place. You're not going to shift immediately 100% from one sector to another sector, but you need to have a plan. You need to have a strategy on how to move from A to B. That's very important. And that's what all governments need to focus on. And they need to communicate this strategic shift so that people actually have a chance to make a choice based on solid policies and based on solid promises.
But where is the money to pay for this?
Well, that's a very good question. In the long run, structural transformation processes will, of course, pay off. But given that we had to invest already a lot of money to just soften the impact of the current crisis, it is going to be difficult. And I'm saying that living in a very rich country. Of course, if we talk about the countries who don't have these means, it's going to ask for a lot of international solidarity to actually make sure that they recover as well. It cannot just be about us. It cannot just be about developed economies recovering, because if they don't recover, we are not going to recover. So we need a level of international solidarity, which maybe has never been seen before. All this, given that even in the richest countries, there is a limit to how much debts you can actually make. So we'll have to see how things go, how quickly economies recover. We were surprised how quickly they recovered in the third quarter last year, because at the end of the day, most economies are healthy. This is not like in the financial crisis. Most economies are still healthy enough to actually recover quickly. But the longer the crisis lasts, the more difficult it will be, and the more difficult it will be to find the resources.
Last question then to you. As the International Labour Organization, you're in touch with employers, trades unions, workers the world over, and you're suggesting that we need something really radical to bring about a recovery, build back better, you say. So what is the sense that there's going to be, quotes unquote, a new deal brought by global solidarity? Because, we've had the UN Secretary General saying that we haven't seen enough of it, and we've seen that with vaccines. So what chances are there of it happening for Labour?
You know, even before the crisis, the ILO came out with a Future of Work Declaration. And as you rightly say, when we come out with a declaration, it's carried by employers, workers, and governments. So they all agreed on what they want the future of labor markets to look like. And every single country of all our member countries and employers of these countries and workers signed this document. The most important thing is these changes only happen when they are carried by the entire society. And that means what we call social dialogue is the key thing. We need to have everybody on board, but we also need everybody to take their responsibilities. And for that to happen, we need to trust each other. We need to talk to one another. We need to have debates. But as I said, if you look at the document, you see that it is possible to come up with an idea of what we want the future to look like. And this future will be much more human-centered. It will have a human face. It will be based on the rights of people. It will be based on people's desires and wishes. And that's the only way we can move forward.
There certainly is data showing that people haven't recovered from the last economic crisis. So how long is it likely to take us to recover from COVID?
The important question is how long will governments actually continue their policy to invest in softening the impact of the crisis? One of the big problems of the last crisis, of the financial crisis, was that many countries stopped too early. They stopped at a point where it was exactly when those disadvantaged groups were just about to move back into labor markets, but without the support, they were just left behind. So it is very important that policies continue to soften the impact of the crisis and continue to invest into future industries and future sectors that we want to see. It's not going to happen automatically.
So we're talking, a decade, 2 decades?
Much less than a decade for many groups and many sectors. But we do talk about a decade when we talk about the disadvantaged sectors and also the disadvantaged people.